is God with us? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I've entitled this message tonight, God's Plan. It says in 1 Peter 1:20, who, referring to Jesus Christ, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Here in Matthew chapter number 1, Jesus manifests himself to the world as a babe. Yep. But yet long before that, God had planned to send his son to this world. He had planned that, the verse says, before the foundation of the world. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Again, this verse highlights how God had a plan for redemption before he ever made the creation. God's plan was always to send Jesus Christ to this earth to die for our sins. But I want you to notice in this text what was involved in God's plan. As in so many instances, God begins this plan of bringing his son into the world with a man. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Here's how it happened. Here's how it came to pass. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. There's a human instrument here involved in God carrying out his plan. And as I said, so many times that is the case. When God initiated the creation of this universe, I realized that man was not created until the sixth day, but that was the exclamation point upon the creation. That was the purpose for everything that he did the prior 5 days. Yes, and then he makes a man. And that man is Adam. And he begins the human race with one man. When God was ready to raise up a nation through which the world would be drawn to him, he started with a man. The man was Abraham. When God knew that he had to provide a means by which this nation, his people, could be protected and grow in great number, you know what he started with? He started with a man, Joseph. And he even explained to Joseph what lie ahead for him. When God wanted to deliver the people out of Israel, he began with a man. He called a man, Moses, to lead them out of Egypt. God raised up other men, Gideon, Samson, Barak, and even Esther, to lead his people to deliverance. God, when he desired for the walls of Jerusalem to be rebuilt because they lie in rubble, what did he do? He called a man, Nehemiah. When he wanted to see a nation come to a place of repentance, what did he do? He called a man and he said, Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to preach to Nineveh. And here, one of the first steps God takes in his plan to bring his son into the world is he calls a man, and we might even say a man and a woman, to a special task. It mentions Mary and it mentions Joseph. And can I say to you that these two individuals were vessels?
Yeah.
Vessels that could be used by God for a special task. Because you see, the Bible says that not everybody's a vessel unto honor. Not everybody's meet or suitable for the master's use. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. You know, in our own homes, we have vessels that are considered highly important to us, and some that aren't that important. We have some things in our house that are very useful, and other things that don't serve much of a purpose at all. Some of you, if you were to go home right now, in the cupboard, you would find some vessels that are ready to be used. In other words, they're clean. Right? They've been washed and dried and put away in the cupboards, and so when you go home and you have your supper, that's probably where you're going to reach for a vessel that's suitable for using. But you're probably not going to reach into the sink that's filled with dirty dishes, because people have thrown things on top of it. The water's been turned on and off, and there's water in cups and on plates. And I'm picturing in my mind a leftover spaghetti with a bunch of water and Kool-Aid poured over it on a dirty plate. That's a vessel that's not ready to be used. But God goes on to say in that chapter, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and we'd have to go look at the context to see what the these is, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. You know, not everybody's in a position to be used of God, at least in a special way. And I want to encourage every one of us to be the types of individuals that when God sets out to plan a specific task, to fulfill a specific purpose, that we would be the people that He would be able to use.
Yeah.
To accomplish that task. You see, it says of Mary that she was a virgin.
Right.
She was pure. And had Mary not been a virgin, she would not have been able to be used of God for this task.
Right. Right.
Not only though was Mary someone that was pure and virtuous, but gentlemen, Joseph.
Amen.
Joseph was also a pure man. The Bible says he was a just man.
Right.
And we see throughout this text that this was a special and unique man.
Right.
And so when God had to call upon a man to use him for this special task, we see he chose Joseph. It says that Joseph was a just man. You know, it says that when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, that he considered putting her away privily, privately. Again, highlighting just how godly of a man he was. In his mind, understand, he had been transgressed against. He had been offended. He had been humiliated. This woman that had made a commitment to him had now gone back on her commitment. That's what he was thinking. Because the only way for a woman to become with child is to have a physical relationship with another man. And Joseph knew he had not been with her. And so in his mind, that meant that she must have been with someone else. But instead of going to her relatives and friends and explaining what an immoral woman she was, he sought to just put her away privately. He just kept it to himself. It says that as he thought on these things, the angel came. He was a man that was sober. We talked about that Wednesday evening. He was thoughtful. He wasn't rash. He did not act in accordance with his passions. But he sat back and thoughtfully considered what he might do without making a spectacle of this woman. Again, I'm simply pointing that out to say to you that here was a man that was suitable for God to use.
Amen.
And if you young men won't decide to be pure and holy and just and upright, you know what? God is probably not going to be able to use you.
Yes.
if you young ladies want to run after the things of the world, you'll probably be the kind of young lady that God is not able to use.
Right.
God, when He sought to bring to fruition His plan to bring His Son to the world, what did He start with? He started with a man. A man and a woman. Are you a suitable vessel for God to use? Maybe God has a plan to bring revival to Shepherdsville Baptist Church. Maybe God has a plan to save some family down from your house. Maybe God has a plan. And He can incorporate you into that plan. Are you the kind of vessel that God can use? Have you purged yourself from all iniquity? Because the Bible says those are the types of people that are meet, suitable for the Master's use. We see here in God's plan, not only does He call a man and a woman, but then we see that God delivers a message. In verse 20 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Here comes an angel all of a sudden. As Joseph was sitting around thinking about, okay, what am I going to do? What happens? God brings him a message. And I hate to think what Joseph might have done had God not brought to him a message.
Right.
While he was a just man and it appeared that he was going to do things uprightly as he could, he was going to make a tragic mistake if God didn't intervene and say to Joseph, "Hey, wait a minute, Joseph, it's all
right.
This is of me. Mary has not been unfaithful. She's not broken a commitment to you. You have been selected as a chosen vessel." God brings a message. You know, I mentioned some men just moments ago that God called when He was ready to perform a specific task. He made Adam and He gave him a message. Be fruitful and multiply. Gave Adam a message, gave him direction, told him what he wanted him to do. When God called Abraham, He said to Abraham, "You go into a land that I will show you." When God was calling Joseph to a specific task, He gave him revelations through his dreams and said, "Your brothers will bow down to you." When God called Moses, He gave him a message. He said, "Moses, go before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Let my people go.'" And God sent a messenger to Nehemiah when He wanted him to rebuild the walls. And the messenger said, the remnant of Israel, are in great affliction and reproach." And when God wanted to call Jonah to a specific task to save the people of Nineveh, He says, "Go unto Nineveh and preach unto it." Preach unto it. The word angel could also be translated and is also translated messenger. And God, He calls a man, He anoints him for a specific task, and then He sends him a message and tells him what he wants to do. And He says, "Joseph, I want you to marry Mary. Take her as your wife." And then the last thing that I see here that I want to highlight is what I call the Messiah.
Amen.
God's plans always center around the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, names in the Bible, I guess nearly always, are significant. When God named Adam, Adam, it's because Adam means man or mankind. Methuselah is a name that's found in Genesis chapter 5. Methuselah, there are different ideas about what his name means, but in general, a lot of people think that after this, the judgment. And what we find is, when Methuselah came to the end of his life, the flood came, judgment came. So it appears that his name has significance. Isaac was named Laughter. Why? Because his mother Sarah laughed. when God said that she was going to have a child. Rachel and Leah, they named their 12 boys, and they named them things that were significant. For instance, Rachel named Joseph because for a while her womb was closed and she wasn't bearing children. Then all of a sudden she was with child again and she gave birth to Joseph, and she says, I'm going to name him Joseph because Joseph means that the Lord will add. So names oftentimes, nearly always in the Scripture, have significance. And there are two names here given to our Savior. Notice it says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And don't, you know, some get confused at the language that's used here, for he shall save his people from their sins, referring to the people of Israel. Jesus was born into this world a Jew. But that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't come to die for the Gentiles as well. Mm-hmm. Here in the book of Matthew, it's presenting Jesus Christ as the King of Israel.
Yes.
The King of
yes,
the Jews.
Yes.
And so it speaks of Jesus as the King of Israel. They're His people. But it uses the name Jesus. And it uses that name for a reason. For he shall save his people from their sins. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But look at verse 23 where it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
A quotation from Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 14. Two names given to our Savior, to Jesus Christ. And not without significance.
Amen. That's right.
And as I said even to my children, it doesn't mean that Emmanuel was his middle name. Jesus Emmanuel Carpenter. No, that's not what it means. Jesus is given all kinds of names. But two names are highlighted here. And they have significance because that second name, Emmanuel, refers to who he is.
Yes, yes, sir.
He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And that second name refers to what he came to perform, what he came to do. He's Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. That speaks of what he did for us. He's the Son of God. God in the flesh who died for sinful man. The Lord's plan for the ages. To send his Son to this earth. To die for the sins of mankind. Maybe God has a plan for tonight. Maybe I'm in the pulpit, even though it's a small pulpit, by an appointment. Maybe this message is meant for you. Maybe God is trying to draw you to the Savior, Jesus Christ. If so, will you receive him? Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? To those that received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Are you saved tonight? Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin? And put your faith and trust in him and believe that he can take you to heaven. I hope so, but if not, maybe God has a plan tonight. Maybe he wants you to be saved. And so in a moment when we sing our song of invitation, if you're not saved and you want to be saved, God's speaking to your heart. He's dealing with your heart. He's drawing you unto himself. Why don't you come and get saved? But if you are saved, maybe God has a plan. Maybe he's about to do something great. Maybe he's about to do something wonderful. Are you someone that he can use to bring about his plan? I hope so. And if not, why don't you get to a place where God can use you to do something for his glory? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the many applications that can be made from it. And God, I pray that you'd use what little I've said tonight to draw men's hearts and minds to the Savior. Lord, if there is someone here that's not saved, Lord, convict them of their sin. Bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Might they recognize who He is, the Son of God, and what He's done, died and shed His blood for their sins, and resurrected after 3 days and three nights. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, God, help us to remain in a place in our lives where You can use us for Your plans and purposes here in this life. Lord, I thank You tonight for the young people. I thank You for their program, their singing, their skit. And God, I pray that You would greatly use each and every one of them to bring multitudes to Christ and to perfect Your people in their faith. Thank You for these children. Help us as a church body to be faithful stewards in training them up for Thy glory. Now, God, I ask that You bless in the invitation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would.